Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ah, finally a happy hour that is happy.
Yay!
It feels like Justice is Coming week. Or is it just me?
It's tantrically coming.
Coming.
Yes.
What? Huh. Okay, we have...
It's circling the nipple.
We have a double header. Sounds dirty, too. Representative Eric Swalwell, Alpha Liberal, and Allison Gill from Mueller, she
yes.
wrote. And they are both Alpha Liberals. Mm-hmm. And a very, you know, I think we are feeling really, really confident. It's not just A.G. Garland saying, yes, we will... But, you know, in the news that Trump is, I don't even know what you want to call it, under investigation, but this is obviously going all the way to the top,
yes.
right? Glenn Kirshner said, yes, he is confident. We are going to see indictments soon of going all the way up to the
yep.
top, including Trump. So I got to say, and we told Eric Swalwell that Alpha Liberal is, right, he needs to teach other Democrats how to punch and counterpunch like
That's
he
right.
does. Fantastic.
Exactly.
Allison Gill is my, right, she just holds me. Back by the shirt when I'm Veruca Salting
yes.
about January 6th.
Stay calm.
Just
shh. Hold.
I told you.
Hold.
Just gosh. Yeah. I will always be the one in Braveheart that goes first and gets everyone killed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I'm John Belushi. I know I'm mixing two movies, but I'm like, let's go! And then I rush and then everybody else gets
killed. You're mixing more than two movies.
Yeah. It's Animal House meets Braveheart and I'm the asshole. Okay, listen. Just this is
and
a highly...
And Louise.
This is a highly... driving us all off a cliff.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but it's a happy, happy, happy hour. Enjoy Eric Swalwell and Allison Gill.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
She's here. Hooray! Why don't we have a jingle? Let's just make one up. Okay.
She's A.G. from Mueller, she wrote.
That's awful. Hi, Allison Gill.
I'm not going to torture you with my singing.
Hello. Mother, my jingle. Do you think they broke the law? It's time to play sketch or nah.
Yeah. Okay, you were in the room where it happened. We could play that, I suppose. She's always in the room where it happens because she's Allison Gill.
Yes.
Mueller, she wrote, and Daily Beans.
Hello.
Nope, that's not it.
What? No.
Hello. Hi, A.G.
Oh, it got moved. Hello.
We're super tired. We've had a very social week, haven't we? You and I were embracing heroes on opposite coasts. You did a picture yes. with Eugene Goodman, and I had a picture with Malcolm Nance because you were supposed to be at this party, but you got a ticket so you could be, you know, in the room where it.
No one else was in the room where it happened.
A lot of people in the room. Happened, the room
where it happened.
No one else Allison was in the room. Okay. The room where it happened. I think you were the first one to tweet, "Oh my God, the room just erupted in laughter with the Josh Hawley."
Yeah.
Yeah, and I have to say, I've been to a few of these hearings, and one of the cool things about being in the room where it happens is you get to see and hear the reaction from the Galleria, as it happens. There's gasps and the emotion when they show the violence on the screen. They show videos of the violence, or when Shay Moss and Ruby Freeman were testifying, and it's just heart wrenching. But I hadn't seen in the hearings that I had participated in, the kind of reaction we got from Hawley. And it wasn't just the run. It was that they juxtaposed it to his fist pump and then played a slow-mo replay of it. Mm-hmm. And the whole room just burst out in laughter. And those are like 50-foot ceilings, and it just echoed throughout the entire hall. And it was like, and the fact that Liz Cheney opened up by saying, back in 1918, this is where the suffrage women's movement met to discuss getting the right to vote, securing the right to vote for women. And I just felt so incredibly moved by that. And then to have that moment of levity that he will never be able to run away from it.
Yeah. So to speak. Yeah. Well, so excuse me, what else? So you were you said you're betting the running ghost of Hawley will haunt the halls of Congress 100 years from now. I think that's he looked a little like an apparition, like a really wussy apparition, didn't he?
He looked like Bigfoot.
That's a skedaddle.
Yeah.
So legally what would you say was the most compelling?
Probably how the inaction of Donald and Hugo Lowell wrote about this for The Guardian, how that also implicates him, because he acted and to whip up the crowd, ignite them, send them to the Capitol, and then stood by and did nothing until well after. And I think that I know Zoe Lofgren was sort of downplaying how the outtakes of that video, where he didn't want to say, the election is over or we lost the election. And that just goes right to his state of mind. And we need that kind of state of mind evidence, right? When we're putting together a total case, I work at the Department of Justice, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you calm me down. You said people will try to downplay the Bannon verdict because they don't want Garland to succeed. Ignore them. This verdict is critically important to the rule of law and a huge win for justice. I agree. I mean, I agree. It just, we just had Glenn Kirshner on earlier, your beloved and mine, our shared superhero.
Yes. And,
he's impatient, as you probably know, with DOJ, as a lot of us are. We were at this, the Adam Schiff comedy night last night, and Adam Schiff has been, as has Liz Cheney, been openly, I don't know, what's the word you'd use? Impatient? Pressuring the Justice Department? I think that's fine, though, right? I think it's fine for them to be outspoken about that.
Yeah, I mean, as long as we're not openly bashing or spreading disinformation about the Justice Department, some large accounts going so far as to say they're in Trump's pocket or things like that. But yeah, I mean, we do need this. We need it quickly. Mm-hmm. It's just, that this is the biggest investigation in the history of the Justice Department. And that was some language that changed between the last two Merrick Garland statements, because he said one of the biggest. Now he's saying it's the biggest.
Yeah.
And I think they have some really great prosecutors. It's not Garland running this whole show. It's Matthew Graves and his team. And Matthew Graves was able to come in after Mike Sherwin, a Trump appointee, nearly killed the seditious conspiracy case by talking about it openly. And he was going to be sanctioned, but was, resigned before that happened. And he didn't want to execute search warrants on Stuart Rhodes, and he was doing his best to sabotage that case. And for Matthew Graves to come in and be able to button it up and to get Merrick Garland to sign off on seditious conspiracy charges, which is like the granddaddy of all charges next to treason, I think kind of shows that they're in it to win it, so to speak, and that they have the gravitas, the intestinal fortitude to charge something like that. Because I kept telling everyone, chill on the seditious conspiracy stuff. It's going to be obstructing an official proceeding, probably. But then they came out swinging. And so I'm excited about that. But it is taking a long time. And I understand the frustration, particularly in the face of what we've had the last 5 years and what Barr did to the Mueller report. We didn't even get an impeachment out of that because of the spin and yeah. And the controversy. And I guess he didn't have enough pizzazz when he was on TV.
Yeah.
Testifying.
Well, that's what I said about Merrick Garland. If he sounded like Mr. T, people would be... Right. It's the way he and Mueller sound.
Right.
I pity the interruptionist.
Right.
If we had Ellie Mastal and his monster truck
yes.
rally
if
voice.
He had a giant gold medallion, I would feel better if he came out. And but it's just very soft-spoken. But you quoted Cheney, Liz Cheney, saying the dam has begun to break. Our committee will spend August looking through evidence on multiple fronts. So the fact that that was the first announcement is this is ongoing and they'll be back in September. I would lend credence to that, doesn't it?
It does. And I love that because the closer to the election these hearings get, the happier I am.
Right.
And although it could push back indictments a little bit because the Department of Justice needs those transcripts, not because they don't want to do the interviews themselves, but because they have to look for consistencies between the congressional interviews and their interviews. Think about the Sussman. Remember the Durham Sussman case, how Peter Baker said one thing to the OIG, another thing to Congress, and a third thing to the Department of Justice?
Yeah.
And because of that inconsistent testimony, he wasn't lying. It was just, you know, witness testimony can be inconsistent. That was one of the things that blew the case for him because that was a star witness. So they really need to get those transcripts. And that might push that back a little bit because they're going to have more interviews and more transcripts that the Department of Justice is going to probably need, maybe not, but you know, because a lot of this stuff is pretty strong. These are strong cases on their face. I honestly think.
Yeah. I saved all the Secret Service stuff for you because I want to know. So you retweeted Frank Flaguzzi, our other shared superhero, who said metadata shows 10 of the 24 Secret Service personnel did have texts around January 6th that were not retained. And you said the DHSOIG, the one who waited months to go to Congress, triggering two whistleblowers, has now halted the probe that was getting the metadata. So talk to us about because now Malcolm Nance was just on last week. He said they're going to get those texts. But, you know, I think Glenn Kirshner this morning, not so sure. Because, you know, this is the group that knows how to do that. So presumably they would also know how to make them disappear. What do you think?
Well, they clearly did. And I mean, they have to do a lot of work to make these disappear. And they did that. It seems like they did that work. I don't trust this OIG, this Kufari. He's a Trump appointee. He is the one who quashed the investigation into the Secret Service attacks with rubber bullets and tear gas at Lafayette Square in the wake of the George Floyd murder. I don't like him. And it seemed like the Secret Service was getting somewhere with that metadata
and
those 10 individuals and 24, the original 24, whom include people like Ornato and Engel. And then he comes in, this OIG who sat on this information since February and didn't tell Congress, comes in and tells the Secret Service to stop their investigation because he's doing a criminal probe. And I've been asking, one thing I don't know and one thing I want to find out is when the Office of Inspector General does a criminal investigation, there probably is some oversight from the Department of Justice because the OIG can't charge anyone.
Right.
And so I want to know sort of what that process is. Does declaring a criminal investigation by an Office of Inspector General bring in the Department of Justice for some oversight? Because I would really like to see that. Kind of the same way I'm looking forward to seeing what the Department of Justice oversight in Uvalde has to say versus their Republican congressional committee.
Well, and also, you know, I was saying to Glenn, same thing you're pointing out on Twitter, that the Secret Service hiring outside counsel... Also, right away, makes you go, oh. And you said, look who Secret Service agent's attorney is. Barr appointed Terwilliger to U.S. attorney for EDVA, the district that handled Manafort, among others. His father, George Terwilliger, is representing Mark Meadows. So, I mean, this all just stinks to high heaven, doesn't it?
It is. Now, George Terwilliger, I've got a little – I don't think he's one of the many Trump-paid attorneys representing January 6th defendants. He has said, look, I'm not Sidney Powell. I am not Lynn Wood. I am not Rudy Giuliani. I am George Terwilliger III, you know. And so he's not a hero, but he's not over on, I guess, quote unquote, team crazy either. So we'll see what happens.
Right. Here's my favorite from your trip to D.C. You said the Supreme Court building is the new Trump Hotel. Everyone stops to flip it off.
Yeah.
Sad. But think true. About it, right? It is sad, but true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was there. I you know, was sitting outside waiting for Officer Dunn to come in. And I got to a little tour of the Capitol that day. And the Supreme Court building's right there on facing the east side of the Capitol. And it's cute, all fenced off right now. And everybody who walked by, there were just people walking by, flipping it off, taking photos, just like they used to down at the old DC International Hotel. That was a stop I would make.
You would take a picture of yourself flipping off a Trump building.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What was it? I just have to quick, and we're going to come back after the break. You have great advice for Democrats for 2022. But what was it like to be in the room with Harry Dunn and Eugene Goodman and all the, you know, the people, you know, watching this?
That's who I kept thinking of and who I kept looking at, having to sort of relive these traumatic events. You know, I've got my own personal trauma with PTSD, and when you have to have exposure therapy or relive or those events or have flashbacks to that, I know how difficult it can be, and I can't imagine it on the scale that they experienced trauma. And so that's what was in the back of my mind. I viewed everything and heard everything through the lens of how it might impact my friends, those guys. And that made it, that just framed it a little bit differently for me. And that being in there was just, the weight of history is kind of on your shoulders.
Yeah.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Representative Eric Swalwell on the line, who we proudly call our alpha liberal from
That's
the great
right.
state of California. Good morning, Representative Swalwell.
Good morning. Good morning. I was just in a judiciary committee hearing. We call that the land of misfit toys because it's including the likes of Jim Jordan, Matt Gaetz, and others. So this is a welcome and refreshing reprieve.
Listen, can we tell you that calling you an alpha liberal is the highest compliment? Because on TV, on Twitter, you show Democrats how to fight.
Yeah.
How to take it to these Republicans.
Yes.
You tweeted that. You said, worse, the land of misfit treasonous toys could get more populated if some of these MAGA Republican candidates win.
That's right.
Right, and we just went through the whole bunch of them that have threatened violence in their campaign ads, right?
And I just sat through a hearing with the Assistant Attorney General where the Republicans are protesting that the Department of Justice is looking at people that threaten violence at school board meetings. And, you know, they cannot draw the distinction between someone who would show up peacefully and passionately to talk about their kids' curriculum and the over 220 cases that Reuters has recently identified of incidents where school board members are being threatened. And look, this is a lot who now is more comfortable with violence than voting. They'd rather see chaos than community. And we can't call them out enough because, look, only one vision for America is going to come out of this midterms. Either it's a vision of community or it's a vision of chaos. And we know they have chosen chaos. And we've got to be loud. We've got to organize and mobilize, and we can win. It's a narrow path, but we can win.
Yeah, and you pointed out, you said, what, 1/3 of Americans say it's time to take up arms against our government? I know exactly who's inspiring the treason curious, as you call it. And you went down the list, Ronnie Jackson, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Gosar, Lauren Boebert, with these ads that are, you know, inspiring violence. And it's, this goes all the way up to what we're doing with January 6th, right? You just said, please, MAGA Republicans are not pro-cop, they're pro-coup, start calling them out. And that's what we have to do, is say it like it is, right?
We let them define us as, you know, a defund the police, open border, socialist party, and one, you know, that is not who we are at all. That doesn't reflect Joe Biden's beliefs. It doesn't reflect the majority that Nancy Pelosi leads in the House, and it doesn't reflect, you know, Chuck Schumer's thin majority in the Senate. But we are often on our heels, and so I think we have to play on their side of the field and put them on their heels because they have proven, not just by, you know, fringe people in their party that they're outside the mainstream, but by the votes that they've taken, that the majority of them voted against same-sex marriage. The overwhelming majority of them voted for forced pregnancies for women. Majority of them voted against contraception. So that's who they are. And so we have them on the record. This isn't, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene said something and we're projecting it on all of them. No, these are votes that they've cast that put them outside the mainstream of the freedom that we all want for ourselves, our family, and our community. And yeah, let's keep them on their side of the field, not ours.
Yep. You tweeted, imagine hating America so much you're rooting for higher gas prices just to own the libs. Prices were surging. POTUS and House Democrats attacked the problem while MAGA GOP exploited. Now they're coming down. And you, thank you for pointing out about the media, what we always say. You said D.C. media will cover the spike but move on from the story once prices drop. It's a trajectory as old as time. We have different jobs. I'm reminding constituents that House Democrats and Biden attack the issue when relief is coming. And then you followed
and
up
Stephanie,
with...
That's because, you know, a reporter said that, you know, it was premature for me to say that. And as I said, in the last 4 weeks, between 32 cents and 40 cents, it's come down. And it's like, no, well, when should we point out that we attack the problem and the prices are coming down?
Right.
Because no reporter is going to follow up on that story. They're just going to move on to the new issue of the day or grievance of the day that Republicans will point out. And you probably saw the same Fox News handoff that I saw, where one anchor was handing off the hour to another, and they were bemoaning that these low gas prices may hurt independent gas station operators. So they've already moved on. That's Joe Biden's fault.
They don't highlight that every Republican voted against the, you know, no gas, right. You know, price gouging at the pump. And you tweeted, gas prices are so low, Ted Cruz canceled his flight and drove to Cancun, which is funny. That's funny. And that's the way you troll the the Republicans with the truth, right? Right? I mean, it's... also, we may be on that. Well, I don't want to trust Manchin necessarily in anything, but we might be on the verge of getting really something done, right, on climate and drug prices, etc. You tweeted yesterday, the Senate passed my bipartisan Homicide Victims Family Rights Act that will reinvestigate homicide files upon request by a loved one 3 years after the case goes cold. Next stop is POTUS's desk to be signed into law. You, as a former prosecutor, tell us about this and why you wanted to get this done.
You know, too many families have nearly lost hope that the case involving their lost loved one will be solved. And more cases when it relates to homicides are unsolved than solved. And that's hard to believe, right? But more cases in a homicide investigation are unsolved. And so this would allow, after 3 years, any cold case, any federal cold case, to essentially be reopened and reexamined by a new investigative team as new tactics, techniques, and, you know, science becomes available. And so it's just giving hope to people who are losing hope. And we did it in a bipartisan way. It's pro-victim. It works with law enforcement to support them and their efforts to, you know, reinvestigate. And again, it was bipartisan. And so it's going to be signed into law in the next couple of days. And we hope the president touts that as, again, Democrats, you know, working, you know, to keep people safe in their communities and hold people accountable and devote resources to hold people accountable when a loved one is lost.
You won Twitter this week, I have to say. Right-winger tweeted, there are no pronouns in the Constitution, and you said, why is MAGA so bad at this? Yeah. We the people.
The first part.
Okay,
yeah.
The very first thing. First we word. Is a pronoun. But I have to ask, I had to save till last the best as you sit on House Judiciary. You know, obviously with the news out of the Justice Department this week and from Merrick Garland, I think people are feeling more confident than ever that justice is coming for Trump and for January 6th. Where do you stand on that?
They are moving closer and closer, you know, to the center of the circle. And most investigations, as you know, are kind of outside in or bottom up. So they're moving to the center and they're moving to the top. And in at the center and at the top is Donald Trump. And, you know, we know that before the election, he said that it was going to be fraudulent. So he seeded that idea that the only way he could lose was if it was fraudulent. Afterwards, he spent millions, nearly $100 million, to tell people it was fraudulent and then to convene them in Washington. And while they when they came to Washington and when he knew that it was going to be violent, he leaned in and aimed an angry mob that he had incited at the Capitol. And once they went to the Capitol armed, and he knew they were armed, and he wanted the metal detectors to come down, despite them being armed, he did nothing for nearly 3 hours. And so he's responsible. He's the only one responsible, frankly, because had he been taken out of the situation, had he conceded back in December when the states started to certify, this would not have happened. And so I do hope that the Department of Justice sees this evidence and recognizes that most of it was committed in plain sight, that you don't have to dig too deep. Donald Trump doesn't really bury his evidence.
Yep, we are out of time, but we are, can I just say, on behalf of the great state of California, so proud of you. Your alpha liberalness. Thanks, yes. Thanks for fighting for us every day.
My pleasure. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, team.
All right.